It's the Bill Simmons podcast presented by FanDuel. The NBA season hitting full stride. Don't foul out on your chance to win with America's number one sportsbook. Bet on fun markets like live quarter player props and parlays. Plus, enjoy our new NBA player prop pages, your one-stop shop for player props that include FanDuel's exclusive performance trends. Tracking the last five games for top markets. They even do that. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. When you win, you'll get paid instantly. So download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available. Listen to the end of this episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Game problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Coming up, it's time. The annual NBA Worst Contracts Draft with House and Waz. It's next.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,79 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. If you missed it, we did a Rewatchables on Monday night. It was Rocky. The 1976 Oscar winner. Can't believe we didn't do it yet. It was me and Chris Ryan and Van Lathan. So please go check that out. You can check it out on the Ringer Movies YouTube channel as well. I'm also on the Prestige TV podcast every Sunday night doing White Lotus recaps with Joanna and Mallory. And we have a great time doing that. We're brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook as well, by the way. And they're doing the 30 on 30, those little profit boosts that we do. Every Friday, you have to pick a 30 points plus score. Who's going to get at least 30? Look at all the matchups. I'll tweet out my picks who I think might have the best chance to do it. And if you hit, you get a 30% profit boost on it. So let's say Jokic on Friday night is like, I don't know, minus 128. You hit that, you get 30% on top of what you win. Be sure to claim the PBT, place your 30 on 30 bet for Friday. Just look for 30 on 30 in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So I think this is the fifth year we've done it. Me and Big Waz and House, we draft the worst contracts in the league. It sounds like a negative podcast. It's actually very positive because we have a lot of laughs. We have a great time talking about it. We're going to talk Warriors, Lakers at the top with House and Waz and then dive into the worst contracts of 2025 in the NBA. This is always a blast. Can't wait. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, we've been doing it every year since 1977, the worst NBA contracts draft, one of my favorite times of the year. We always wait for the perfect week of the season, far enough away from the playoffs, right after the trade deadline, guys start getting sidelined, scratched, bodies start breaking down. Perfect time to do this. And we have a couple doozies at the top. House, just thinking back this decade, who was your favorite worst contract of the decade before the guys this year? It was probably the Ben Simmons, right? When he had all that money left? That, was he number one or somebody else?
No. Nobody will ever rival Bradley Beal. This, we really should change the name of this. Bradley Beal has a no trade clause. Like, the impact of the Bradley Beal contract on the face of the league over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years, just unbelievable, mind-blowing, nearly.
It was unbelievable to you as it was happening, and the no trade pushed it over the top. Is there anybody else you would put, Waz? Would you put Simmons above that or no?
Oh, Ben Simmons, Bradley Beal. I think those are the creme de la creme, specifically because Ben Simmons got a max contract and then never played. Right. And when he did play, he didn't want to take layups. So yeah, those two are the ones that immediately come to mind. Obviously, there are legacy deals like John Wall out there. Like, there's a few other doozies, but
oh yeah, there was the Westbrook one. I forgot. Yeah, we had that Wall Westbrook trade combo.
Yes,
Simmons was 5 years for 177, and I think the last four was just complete regret.
Yes,
by everybody who had him. So, we should mention, you know, we've been trying to stay positive on the pods with our Ringer NBA coverage. This is a decidedly negative podcast, but we have fun. Hey, there's great contracts, great trades, great teams. The storylines are awesome right now. How sweet. We haven't talked on the pod. We have the Warriors and Lakers as legitimate contenders all of a sudden.
It's unbelievable. Wonderful.
The league feels like it's been supercharged over the last couple of weeks. We were like worried, oh my God, this is just going to be Cleveland, Boston, OKC, and literally nobody else. And now all of a sudden Denver's in there. The Lakers, the Warriors, the Knicks are kind of lingering a little bit, but Waz, super fun NBA season all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Luka trade definitely took this thing into a whole different gear. Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about what happened, why it happened, how it happened. But the actual basketball, to watch Luka kind of just pretty much automatically be embraced by the crowd at Crypto.
Yeah.
Where he is just playing to the crowd and just straight up, he's in it. And it's kind of amazing that it's come together in 9 freaking games this way.
Yeah, it's even more amazing that some people were saying, I don't know how those guys are going to play together. 2 ball dominant guys. It's like, what? It's like two of the highest IQ guys we've had in the last 30 years on a basketball court. I'm pretty sure they'll figure it out. It's been really fun to watch. And how
I want to drop the first F-bomb of the. I mean, he's a force fucking multiplier. Like that dude, because of his basketball brain, and you put the two biggest basketball brains on the planet together, I think they're going to figure it out. But think about where we were in the first third of the season. The criticism levied against the NBA, and it was proper criticism. Are we really going to do this goddamn retirement tour thing with LeBron and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant? We have to watch all these shitty games with these shitty teams. And now look where we are. Look where we are. So
we have a Celtic Laker game Saturday night. That's, you know, other than tremendous. That first Cleveland OKC game, is probably the most fascinating game of the season. And it's two guys that the Celtics have real history with, right? They played Luka in the finals last year. And then LeBron has been their biggest foil of the 21st century, both on the same team. They're so weird to watch just as a team now. They have no center. They have no point guard.
Whoa. Jackson Hayes dropped 20 points in the first half.
Jackson. But you watch them and you're like, I don't know why this is working, but it's working. And this is a team I would not want to see in a series when everything slows down and you have to play the same team every time for 2 weeks. And I just don't want to see these guys under any circumstances. Well, and LeBron looks rejuvenated. And by the way, LeBron started to look rejuvenated 2 weeks before this trade. Yeah. I'm just flagging that.
Yeah, he's
hopping
he's
a step from about 2 weeks earlier.
You say the same thing about Steph. As soon as they acquire Jimmy Curry, he drops a 56 on us. Like, hey, Curry, let's go.
Did you say Jimmy Curry? You've already had your first malapropism of the pod.
I did say it.
Yeah,
Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Curry. Whatever. Jimmy Butler knows.
That's the new duo, though. But no, LeBron seems to have a pep in his step. He had a chase down block the other day where I'm just like, this guy's now back to chase down blocking people.
I loved it.
They've smartly decided that, no, Luka Doncic is the point guard, the orchestrator. We'll just work around, I don't know, one of the 3 best players in the NBA. And they've been rewarded for that. And the J.J. Redick stuff is absolutely working. Every time the Lakers social media account posts one of his post-game speeches, I know it's bullshit, but I'm bought in. I'm like, I'm ready to run through a wall for this guy. It's amazing to watch
what the
Lakers have been doing.
Yeah, it's very Dan Campbell Lions-ish, those speeches he does. Yes. And, you know, it's little stuff with him, like the pulling back Dalton Connect, right? Guy gets traded out of nowhere, goes to Charlotte, meets everybody on Charlotte. Trade gets rescinded. It's like, ooh, hey, man, good to see you again. Have you been? Boy, this is awkward. And yet he's inspiring him. It's not like he's a huge part of the team, but he's one of their best 9 guys. They kind of need him. I've been fascinated watching, and I've talked about this on the pod before, but watching LeBron, just like his fucking Terminator brain, recalculating how he should be used with Luka having the ball this much. And I think he immediately embraced, I don't need to actually use as much energy as I used to. This is actually really good for me. Now I'm like picking my spots in short bursts. It's very similar to that first Miami season when Wade was awesome and he didn't know how to pick his spots that year, especially as we got in the playoffs. And now, you know, he's such a good 3-point shooter. He wasn't in 2011. Now he is. But then he's also figured out the defense rebounding. It's a really great team to watch right now. And I'll say this. I know a lot of Laker fans, as does Waz. I can't even describe how euphoric they are. They went from like, this is a wrap.
Yeah.
I don't like watching this team. I can't take another AD up and down. He's hurt. He wants to play the four. LeBron's padding his stats. He's not playing defense. This sucks. We're fucked for the decade. To in a flip, just like it's like they inherited money from some aunt they never knew. It's like, my aunt just gave me $10 million. I hadn't seen her in 12 years. That's the attitude. They're going absolutely crazy house, and I might have to move.
They deserve to be going crazy. Like, that is the only rational response in the face of, you know, the most extraordinary irrational trade in the history, maybe, of professional sports. I mean, I guess the Deshaun Watson thing might rival it.
No, it's at least basketball. I think it's the craziest, most indefensible trade we've had in basketball.
All of sports. All of sports. Well, because the other part,
and we said this when the trade happened, and I know I said this on this pod, this is the greatest thing you ever did for Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
We talked about this, Waz, when we did the trade deadline pod, like a week after. It's like, well, yeah, maybe you were worried about some stuff, but you just did him the greatest favor you could have ever done them. You lit a fire
in
him.
It's a kick in the ass.
Yeah, now he's going to have a comeback. And that's the other thing with LA is LA loves comeback stories. LA loves, like, oh, Ben Affleck, he's made Gone Baby Gone. He's back. He looked like he had hit rock bottom. Now he's putting his career back together. And this Luka's as great as he is, but he was a little bit of a comeback story. It's going to be fun to watch him get in better shape, embrace vegan food, embrace smoothies, embrace the Versa climber, all this stuff.
He's going to be
vitamin D.
He's going to be getting the Hailey Bieber from Erdogan. Is that what we're saying?
He needs a celebrity relationship soon. He's going to be playing all the hits. It's going to be great. Fellas, I don't want to see this team in a playoff series if I'm basically anybody. And I'm sure there's going to be ways as we keep watching them that you can solve some of their deficiencies. But right now, it just, if you have two guys who are putting up 60 points a game, that's, I just don't want to see a team like that. So that story's been great. And then Golden State.
Oh, excellent. The Jimmy thing is excellent.
Can we officially say that worked out way better for them than getting KD? Because when we did the trade deadline, we were like, I don't know. What are we getting from Jimmy? And we were all bullish on the Jimmy part. But I think now that we've watched it, the fact that he can give them this two-way defense stuff, doesn't really necessarily need the ball. You don't get all of the up and down personality stuff that sadly KD brings to the table from time to time. We saw it the other night on TV.
Though. Like, Jimmy in Miami didn't cover himself in glory in terms of
fair.
Up and
I'm
down
just talking hit, this like, season, House.
Well, this
happy
season,
Jimmy. We've seen Jimmy's teeth this season.
He was bitch Jimmy for you know, 45 to 60 days. Like, you really want to say, from an, if you're comparing the emotional kind of component of it, I'm not sure that I'm willing to concede. I think KD, if he had been into it, would have arrived with the very best attitude.
But I don't know if he was into it.
I do.
Wasn't
and
into
here's
it.
The other thing about
he didn't
KD,
want to go to Golden State House.
If he did want to, is what I'm saying.
Right.
If it had been in his brain that was where he wanted to land.
If she'd be my uncle. I mean, he didn't want to go to Golden
House,
State.
You got, this is, the, this is where I disagree with you, House, is when's the last time KD was happy somewhere?
2016 Golden
17.
State.
Yeah, 16-17 Golden State. Yeah. That was the last full happy
season.
Like,
the guy's just been, you know, perpetually unhappy. Like, everybody remembers that last year in Golden State. Like, people think this Budenholzer thing is, like, out of left field. It's like, go look at the last year in Golden State. Like, this guy was miserable. A lot of people described it as morose for an entire season for the best team in the league by far. Right. Obviously, the Brooklyn thing blew up. And look, I've kind of defended what Jimmy did because it's just like, look, you guys don't want to pay me after I basically overachieved my entire tenure here. I'm blowing this thing up. Like, it was ugly, but he got the right outcome for himself in his career. He got his money in Golden State. And now he's on a team that I think is as scary as anyone. And it's specifically because they got Jimmy Butler. The defense is taking another step. And Jimmy is just seamlessly fitting to the offense, which I kind of thought would be the case because he played in a similar offense in Miami around, you know, Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson getting free on the three-point line. Now it's Steph Curry.
Right.
It's crazy. Well,
the other thing, it's so funny with basketball, you can just add one guy and the entire team slides into place, right? Like, now Moody is kind of doing a Wiggins impersonation defensively, and he was really good the other night in that Knicks game. Pods, who had the ball too much, and they were almost using him as like a second playmaker because they didn't really have another choice. Now he just is who he is, which is a guy on the side who can hit some threes and rebound and play hard. And then Draymond doesn't have to worry about anything at all other than throwing entry passes to Jimmy or setting screens for Steph. And you feel, Russell and I talked about it Sunday. It's like you can see it's like a different human being, Steph now. Steph had weight of the world on his shoulders, just looked like he had played 9 games in 10 nights every night. And now he's skipping around. That with the way he played at MSG, and he's a little he tweaked ankle. And he's just dancing and prancing the whole day, which was awesome. So, you know, it's funny because we talked, I don't know how many months ago, about how this league was a prisoner of the LeBron Steph eras and they couldn't move on and create these new stars. So now, ironically, they might get these two. The thing to watch for me is, can Golden State get into the 4 or 5? Mm-hmm. Can they get OKC in round 2? Because I want to get them earlier than later. And I think avoid that Lakers Denver combo. Let those guys beat the hell out of each other, and because those are going to be tough matchups for them. But if they can play OKC, I know OKC is excellent and they're a really good young team and they're having a great season. But Golden State OKC, they've already had awesome games. That's a team that I think Golden State feels like we can play this team.
Oh yeah.
And I just feel like if we end up, we could have a round 2. Where we could have Celtics Knicks, we could have Lakers Denver, and we could have Golden State OKC. Those would be 3 of the 4 series, and I don't even know who
realistic.
The other. Yeah, and then the it would be Cleveland against somebody crappy. We get to worst, and I'm sorry, I may be a tangenting, but am I the only one who thinks Cleveland is clearly the favorite right now?
You are 100,050,000,000% the only one. Okay. I and I'm not buying this reverse jinx crap.
I'm not reverse jinxing anything. I don't. I'm not doing that. I wanted to last year.
Sniff this out. We knew you were gonna do this reverse jinx. The Celtics went out to a 25-3 lead. I think that's for a reason. I think they are just a nightmare matchup for Cleveland because they get Cleveland out of their base offense, which is ball movement, quick hitting, all of that stuff. The Celtics being so switch heavy, it's just like, no, like Garland, you got to beat somebody. You know, Donovan Mitchell, you got to prove that you're an All-NBA caliber shot creator, finisher. You got to beat somebody. You know, it's going to be Drew Holiday. It's going to be Tatum. It's going to be Brown. Like, they're going to force these guys to play in the one-on-one. And okay. I think they're going to be fine. Like, honestly.
It all depends on the health of the Celtics when those two teams get together.
Yes.
That will be it. That's the most important thing for that matchup.
Two things. Health. I thought the Philly Super Bowl really fucked me up, Pass.
Well, you didn't have me on to help steer you, so you have no one to blame.
You weren't available.
Did you put money on KC for that, Bill?
You were in New Orleans eating fried oysters.
I could have jumped on the phone.
No, I've had a lot of regrets, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about what went wrong with my Super Bowl pick, because my instincts are telling me Philly. I've talked about this, but I do wonder sometimes if hunger is the most underrated noun in sports. And that's what worries me about Cleveland versus Boston. As Boston plays hard, Tatum plays hard every night, the team gives a shit. But Cleveland hasn't been there before. And every guy in that team, when they play the Celtics, it will be the most important 2 weeks of their life. And the Celtics can't say the same. And there's that little edge of like game 7 at home, Donovan Mitchell with like, holy shit, I could actually make the finals. This is my moment right now. The Celtics had that last year. Going back to back is really hard. The history of the NBA is like, this is the single hardest thing you can do in the NBA is win the second time in a row. And that's what worries me, that the health, what am I getting from Porzingis? What am I getting from Holiday? And then this Cleveland team that just can play everybody 30 minutes a game or less. They have incredible depth. They have a bench. They have a huge lead. they're going to play somebody absolutely shitty in round one, right? Like, truly shitty. Whoever that 8-9, that is going to be a shit team. They're going to get a sweep in that, and they're just going to be fresh in round two. And that, you know, that's a real thing. So those are my concerns, House. Who would be the 4 seed in the East? I'm blanking. That would be
Indiana, Milwaukee.
Indiana. So, I mean, Milwaukee's playing better in Indiana.
Detroit's,
I think,
making a push, by the way. Let's not rule out Detroit.
No, they had a tough loss last night. Why is this guy Schroeder has been really good as on the Pistons? That was a sneaky trade. I don't know why Miami didn't want him, especially when Terry Rozier has died, as we're going to cover in the draft.
He's an on-ball menace. He plays his ass off on defense. Like, this guy really tries. He takes his matchup personal every single night. Obviously, he's a yapper and gets under the skin of every single one of his opponents.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes his own teammates, too, but that's neither here nor there. I just think he's a gamer, man. And,
me
you know,
too.
Every now and again, he'll get you some buckets, blow-by guys, driving kick guy. He'll make his threes every night. Like, I've always been a shooter guy.
They played him. He came off the bench yesterday. Harden went nuts yesterday. And Schroeder kind of took him in the fourth quarter and was just doing a whole bunch of German Schroeder things on him and just defending him full court and annoying him. And Harden was getting madder and madder. I think that Detroit team, that Detroit Knicks series is going to be an absolute bitch for the Knicks. And I can't wait, because they are going to be trying to get into fights, shoving matches, get chippy. They're going to try to work on Towns. They're going to try to hit Brunson. They have... Waz, Russell and I talked about this Sunday. Ron Holland, who's, I think, averaging an altercation every 10 minutes. Is he on your radar yet?
Yeah.
He's a little Ron Artesty.
He's on my radar. Obviously, freaking Stewart, Beef Stew. Like,
Beef
Stew's
number one now.
Pretty much ready to rumble no matter who the opponent is. The guy almost murdered LeBron James 2 years ago. But Ron Holland is fun. I like that they haven't been afraid to throw him on the deep end, man, and just let him sort of figure it out. I think coming into last year's draft, people saw him as like kind of the most, you know, sort of physically, athletically gifted of the bunch, if not, you know, the most skilled and crafty. But I like what I've seen from him so far. I think
Bickerstaff
is coaching these guys up. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I like how feisty they are. Feisty team. Okay. We're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna do the worst contracts draft. House, are you playing FanDuel 30-on-30?
Every time you put one out, I ride.
Because you can cash in on betting with FanDuel America's number one sports book every Friday night. The Ringer. We came up with this idea with them. 30% profit boost if you pick a player to score more than 30 points. And what's really fun is you can look at the matchups like we got tomorrow. You can look at like Phoenix, Denver, and be like, oh, Joker's going off. That feels like a 30 pointer. Just grab his 30-on-30 and you're ready to go. FanDuel, the home for all your favorite prop bets, whether you want to ride with my picks, because I'll be making picks on Friday on Twitter, or make your own. Just look for 30-on-30 in the FanDuel Sportsbook app, or head to FanDuel.com/BS. for your chance to score a bigger payout this Friday night. Make every moment more with FanDuel. You must be 21 plus, present in select states, or 18 plus, present in DC, where Joe House is. Peter Schrager giving DC a lot of love recently on this podcast. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration, max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultra, a superior light beer and the ultimate trophy. Win or lose, you're bound to enjoy the ride with a good beer in hand. Michelob Ultra, crisp, refreshing, only 95 calories. A superior light beer. No matter the game, sport, or season, superior is worth playing for. Always be prepared for a win and order Michelob Ultra today. Available on DoorDash, by the way. Enjoy responsibly. 2025 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. Must be 21 plus to order alcohol. Alcohol available only in select markets. All right, it's time. The worst contracts draft. I think this is our fifth one. It's either four or five. Might be the fifth one. And the rules are as follows. We go in a, not snake fashion. We just go in a circle. You have to say the contract, or I'll say it after you pick the guy. And the thing is, it's almost like reverse NBA trade value. the worst contract in the league, the one you wouldn't want the most untradeable contract, the one that if you were a fan of the team, you'd be like, oh my God. And there's one clear winner this year. We'll see if it goes. House, did you want the first pick or you didn't? Because we have one wrinkle this year. Coaches and GMs are now eligible for the worst contract draft.
And we've done coaches before.
In the GM case, we don't even know what the contracts are, but you can still take a guy.
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, House or Waz? One of you can have. You want the first pick, Waz, or do you want it?
I'll go first. It's all good. It's so obvious. It's almost like a ceremonial first pick in the sense that
I agree.
We all know what the outcome is going to be, and it's got to be Bradley Beal of the Phoenix Suns.
Wow!
That was not who I had on my board.
Waz,
I have him fourth.
No shot. And the reason why is we just went through this exercise. The Suns were desperate to move this guy. They did all kinds of tactics. They tried to bench him to get him to remove his no trade. Like they tried everything to get this man off of their team. Like they had Jimmy Butler on hold, like ready to go, locked and loaded. They were going to improve their roster. They called everyone. It was not possible. This is an immovable. It's literally can't be moved.
Right, this is an interesting case because it actually is untradeable.
So from a worse contract, you
can't trade it. I don't know. He's winning me over, House.
You can't. Not only can you not trade him, okay? And like there was this sort of like idea. Well, Bradley Beal's still a decent contributing player. Like the other night, KD and Bud game. They completely took off after Bradley Beal's ass went to the bench. And then so he's getting $50 million this year, $53 million next year, and then $57 million. Well, he has got a player option.
Yeah.
Hold on. I wonder if he's going to take his player
Shams
option.
Is reporting he's exercised it. Yeah.
His player option is $57 million in 26-27, all while holding a no-trade clause, which means he basically has the franchise by the barrel. Okay? To me, this is still, because of the two extra years, still the worst deal in the NBA. And I get it. There's other guys here that I'm like, wow, this is tough. But Bradley Beal, to me, is the worst.
So I
quite love it. And I'll just interject quickly. I think it would be fine if we wanted to rename this worst contract. We just call it the Bradley Beal Memorial Worst Contract and just do it every year. Name this for Bradley Beal, like arguably one of the worst contracts in the history of bad contracts in the NBA.
I see. I would argue we should name it after Andre Blatch.
That because was only $27 million.
I know, but they gave him an extension and then amnestied him before the extension kicked in. We're never going to top that. That's never going to happen in the history of the league ever again.
I beg for them to do that with John Wall when they gave John Wall the giant extension.
Right. That could be the John Wall, too.
The reason that Beal deserves this top billing is because he set two franchises back a grand total of how many years? It'll be at least 14 to 15 years if you add up the number of years that Washington is going to take to recover and be competitive and how long it will be before Phoenix is competitive again. That's truly amazing. You got to give it up to Tommy Shepard for that one.
Well, it's also funny that the way they got him was Chris Paul was an expiring, right? That they could have bought out after his next year. And then they had Ayton, who they wanted to get rid of. And they somehow turned that into Beal. And then another guy who's going to be in this worst contracts draft a little bit later. It was like they took two things where they actually would have had some flexibility, and now they're just stuck. I just want to mention, his last 2 years, he's averaging 18 a game with 51, 40, 42, 82 percentage splits. And on paper, you could go to Basketball Reference in 50 years and be like, Bradley Beal wasn't that bad. This contract's devastating. When do you think his last season playing 61 games was?
House would know this way
right before the extension. Right before, like, you know, it was before the extension.
The 2018-19 season.
There you go.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many playoff games do you think he's played since he lost to the Celtics in the Kelly Olynyk game?
He definitely, Russell Westbrook single-handedly dragged the Wizards into the playoffs. So he played four games As they got their asses swept in that series. And then I don't know how many, has he played four games for the Suns?
He's played 15 total.
Okay.
So and they're not making it this year. So that'll be 15 playoff games in 8 years for Bradley. Anyway, a stunning number one pick, but I kind of liked it. Bold. Tomorrow in the papers would be like, Big Waz, bold with his first pick.
And I got to say, going through this list, there's just not as many horrific, scary contracts.
Yeah, we didn't have the same depth. Yeah,
I agree. Most of these contracts are like, not that terrible. Some of them you could be like, it's kind of risky. But most of these deals, like even if a guy is slightly overpaid, it's not a franchise killer the way this Bradley Beal thing is. And I'm pretty sure I know your next pick is going to be. But yeah, it's tough.
How's your next pick?
Well, this is, so I respect Waz because he's a traditionalist. He went with the OG here. This is an slightly out of left field, but you know, this guy changed. He altered the course of two franchises. Speaking of, you know, a 5 to 10 year recovery window for one franchise and another franchise that's going to enjoy, it should be at least another decade of prosperity. It's Nico Harrison. I mean, what Nico Harrison, I don't know how much money that man made. And I know that he is going to, I hope he's beefing up on the current offering of Nike sneakers or whatever, because that man is going to return to the sneaker business. There is no franchise in the NBA that he can go to now. There are no more jobs for him in terms of a front office. How do you tell your fan base? Yeah, well, even quietly. Yeah, we brought him in because he's got this relate. No. This is his last job in a front office. And I keep looking for the definitive economic impacts. Like, nobody's done the soup to nuts of how much money it will cost the Dallas Mavericks just over the next 5 years. I think it's going to take much longer than that for them to properly recover because of what happened to Kyrie. But at the very, very lowest conservative estimate, it is $1 billion. It is $1 billion in diminished value for that Dallas franchise. When you think about the impact on revenue from attendance, okay, fine. All of that is getting walloped. The revenue that they're going to get there and over the air, in their local broadcast, they don't have a regional sports network that they're on. They switched that. How are they going to get advertisers to pay anything for people?
How about jersey sales? Games?
Right. Merchandise partners. How do you tell them? What are you going to tell those people? So on down the line, you can go through 6 or 7 or 8 categories, the ways the team make money, the way that the teams have cash flow, walloped. Just take it right off. I think the ultimate economic impact is going to be between $1.5 billion and $2 billion. And think of how remarkable it is in this era where in every sport, we look at them, we say the best investment that a rich person can make is in a professional sports franchise because no franchise ever goes down in value. This motherfucker, look at the alchemy he performed here. He took the golden goose and turned it into a golden pile of shit. Magnificent. That is the worst contract in professional basketball.
Lord. And we don't even know how much he makes, and he's number two in the worst contract draft. Yeah, I did something on my pod at the top on Tuesday, and I was thinking about it. Because remember like when LeBron left Cleveland the first time and they would do those franchise values every year. And last year he was on Cleveland, they were like the number two team. And then a year later, they were like 28th. And it was just, they went from being like worth, I don't know, $1.2 billion to like being worth like $500 million. This is 15 years ago. If Luka wins the title with the Lakers this year, you could argue Dallas might, they have to move in the middle of the night and go somewhere else. Like, just break leases. like who is the guy in the Colts? Irsay?
Yeah.
They just move to Baltimore in the middle of the night one night. Might be a move in the middle of the night one night. I don't know how they recover. And the way sports is consumed now with all these little kids get attached to players instead of teams and all these kids love Luka, I don't know how they come back. Yeah, like, wow, this might be like a death blow.
It's tough. I got to say, I've been one of the biggest, like, look, elements of wanting to move on from Luka were justifiable. people in the media, right? Like, there are elements to it where I'm like, I understand right. why a team would say, you know what, man, this guy is going to be problematic after we give him $350 million. The bottom line is trading for AD, you just had to do something more or better than what
you had
to
get twice as much in the trade. And then even then, I'm not sure. Yeah.
And then AD goes, and it's just like the way he framed it in the media was about availability.
Yeah.
AD goes down immediately the first game he plays. And now Kyrie's gone. Lively's gone. Gafford's gone.
Did you see Kid's thing? Did you see Kid's thing about he took real offense that people thought it was the increased workload that that hurt Kyrie's knee, and he's like, it was a fluke injury. It was like, dude,
took offense.
We've been following the NBA our whole lives. Like, this is Klay Thompson going down the 2019 finals because he was playing like crazy minutes and doing some crazy workload, and then all of a sudden his leg blew out. Like, this is what happens in the league. The more you put on these guys, the more likely it is they're going to break down, dumbass.
I have a question. I have a serious question, because that trade was immediately followed by the Lakers trying to acquire Mark Williams, and then for whatever reason having cold feet about that. And
you mean when they backed out?
They shook
out a trade and backed out, became the first team in 15 years to back out of a trade.
It was a smart back out.
Good back out.
They used the physical. Dallas acquired a hurt player and then got him hurt. And somehow he passed the physical, so I would like,
oh, I
at
like
some
this
point
house.
To
so
understand.
The better move would have been to back out of the trade because of the physical, because of the reaction. But now you've lit a fire under Luka.
Well,
that would have been
that,
a better outcome.
You've also set open to the entire league the possibility that Luka's available. Let's see that auction. Let's see how the rest of the league responds to that. Let's have a proper. I thought there was a possibility. I put it in the text threads within the first 12 hours that there was this crazy Machiavellian play. I wish that that's what had come to pass. But what Dallas did is proof to all of us. They showed their ass in terms of their inability to run very basic downside cases. Like, here's the hope for outcome. Kyrie's awesome. AD's injury is behind him. We have all these giant guys. We're going to be good. And we're going to really compete this year. Then we have a window. But the downside case that any sensible, like, rational business person would conduct is, what happens if AD's injury is lingering or, you know, can't be overcome quickly? How does that impact, you know, the rest of the team? How does that impact directly Kyrie? What's our assessment of the injury risk to Kyrie going forward? Like, what happened to Dallas is not extraordinary. It's the downside case. But now the rational basketball response, the only thing that would make sense and possibly win this the fans back, they got to throw Nico into the bushes. They got to trade AD.
Nico needs to move. Hey, I mean, why would he even want to stay in Dallas now? He should resign.
Great point.
Here's the thing. I'll make a prediction, because we saw this in 2011 when Cleveland miraculously won the lottery the year after LeBron left. I just think Dallas wins the lottery now. I'm going to bet on it.
No.
I'm going to bet on it on FanDuel.
No.
Yeah, I'm betting
no
on it.
No way.
Dallas wins the lottery.
No way.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
We got safe basketball at Dallas. Oh, they got Cooper Flagg. Everything's okay. You don't like this idea, House? Like 101 odds?
Well, I mean, gambling on it and it coming to pass are two different things. Yeah, of course, I'll gamble on it.
I'm
kidding.
God, you took that. You guys took that so seriously. I'm up. I don't know how he's still on the board. It's very reminiscent of the 2014 NBA draft when he fell to 3. Vince Carter was half man, half amazing. He's half man, half available. He's Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Five years, $299.5 million left by the end of this season, because he's been scratched for the rest of the season. 452 games played, 440 games missed. It's a very sad story. I don't mean to sound so excited talking about it. I'm just excited he was still on the board. I'm just going to read through his injuries, guys. In college, stress fracture in his lower back, missed March Madness. Right before the draft, stress fracture, navicular bone in his foot, 2014. Rebroke the same thing, 2015. Left meniscus tear, 2017. Fractured orbital bone, 18. Finger surgery, 2020. Right meniscus tear, 2021. So he tore meniscus in both legs. Torn ligaments, right thumb, 22. Fractured same orbital bone, 22. Right torn lateral meniscus, 23. There's two different meniscuses, I guess, in his right knee. Tore both of them. Bell's palsy, 24. And then this year, they're not even telling us what the injury is. It's just left knee swelling management that now he's out. And what's weird is the left knee was the one that's only been operated on once, unless they're not telling us about one. And then the right knee, which isn't even the one that's having all the swelling, has two operations. 4 years left. There's no way out of this. And we've seen with the big centers, like, once you keep breaking down like this, there's really no path back. And maybe if there's a path, it's 50, 60 games. Brutal contract wise. Why did they do the extension? Will we ever figure this out? Why did they do it?
I think they did it because it's like before he went down last year, he was basically averaging 35 points. He was having the best scoring season since Michael Jordan, literally, in like 1988, right? And so the idea being like, look, when this guy was on the floor for us, he was amazing. And, you know, even in his limited capacity against the Knicks, he was pretty good. So the idea is like, oh, he's going to get back to that form before he went down midway through the season. I think the problem for me and what makes this a justifiable pick is that, you know, guys go down and it's like, all right, he's got an ACL, he's got a PCL, he's got a broken fibia, he's got whatever, ankle, whatever. This is the problem. This is the procedure we're going to do. This is how long it's going to take for him to come back. It's going to be fine. They can't even tell us what is wrong with his knee and what they're going to do. People are throwing out microfracture surgeries.
Do they even still do that?
That's how dumbfounded they are by what they can do to address the problem in his knee. And it feels like there's nothing left to fix.
Yeah, but Wise, they said, so they do the extension, but then Bontemps writes that piece right before the season starts about how Philly finally has their plan to peak in the playoffs. And Embiid says, I'm never playing back-to-backs again for the rest of my career. That would have been my extension red flag. Call me nuts to just add the 3 years and $170 million to a contract I'm already worried about. House, from what you saw from Embiid in the Olympics, would you have given him an extension under any circumstances?
Can you remind me, you did this outstanding podcast with the executive producer of White Lotus,
Dave Bernad.
Bernad. Yeah. And he described this phenomena. He said one of the best pieces of advice he ever got was from, I can't remember who the famous person was that gave him this advice. It had to do with, you know, you get inside of, was it the monkey cage? What was it? It was inside.
Oh yeah. You can't get used to the smell of shit.
You grow so acclimated to the smell of the shit that you cannot identify that there's a bad thing, that you're in a bad environment situation. So for me, the problem with the Sixers goes all the way back to what I will forever argue was an ill-advised and ill-conceived return to the playoffs by Embiid. He wasn't ready. He wasn't healthy. We know this. Waz is right. He had a 50-point game in the first game in Philadelphia. I went up there and watched it. It was awesome. But he also had many dramatic moments where he went down on the floor and stayed on the floor for several minutes and then went to the locker room and then came back. That whole situation of him coming back to the playoffs and playing in under the highest leverage situation in the shape that he was in with his knee and the condition it was in. And then you go from that to the Olympics, which are barely 6 weeks later, and even less than that when you consider the training. And the USA team says, look, it's on the player to make the decision about the player's health. And what we saw from him looked like a competent Joel Embiid. Now, he had some impactful
moments.
Didn't
look as explosive. No, they used his size really well, but you could tell he wasn't 100%.
Right. And so we come off of that, and that's the moment when the extension is given after the Olympics. And Windhorst had a great story this week about some of the decision making and they went, you know, the Sixers talked to every single knee specialist in the world and got the
input.
By
the way, that's a red flag.
They wanted the assurance. The problem with the extension is what the fuck was the rush? Like,
right.
How about him just play the season, see what happens? Now, Maury said,
then you know,
the quote that Windhorst attributed to him was like, we didn't want to arrive in the summer of 25 and have the uncertainty, the potential chaos of him going somewhere else. And my question is, why the fuck not? Why yeah. not?
He would have What's been 32 and had played 60% of the games in his career. Listen, I've known Darryl a long time. I think if there's a flaw with him, I think he wants to be liked by players. And we saw that with when the Harden thing fell sideways. And I just think he likes Embiid and wanted to take care of him and chose to see it as a glass half full versus a glass half empty thing. And I think the owners like Embiid too. And ultimately, like, that was what was so funny about last week when they were leaking out, like, this was Daryl's fault. Daryl did this. It's like the owner makes the decision.
Yeah,
let's just stop. It's that one person is signing that extension and one person is asking all the questions and getting all the answers for it. But it's a devastating contract.
Just so folks understand, let's just say presumably he plays three more years on this knee. In 28-29, he's going to be owed basically $70 million. That's tough.
And we don't... there might be some like insurance wrinkles with this that's right. Because we found out more info about Zion's contract as the months came out, and there might be some wrinkles with this, but as of yet we have not heard of any, and this just seems like a straight $300 million for a guy who doesn't seem like he's going to be able to play that much.
And his age, 30, what would that be?
He'll be 31 season. Next year. Yeah.
If we were gambling on this before, like, what do you think is more likely? He retires in the next 2 years or he makes it to the third year of that contract?
Oh, he's going to make it to the third year.
He's making
not retiring.
It. We have not seen... The only person we've seen retire is Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Like, just walk away from money. And that was seemed like a more like, I don't want to put my body through this anymore.
Okay.
He's not going to retire before his contract is up. He can't. His accountant will not allow it. Okay.
Yeah, you can't.
So 20 games a season out of him for the Sixers?
Hey, it is whatever I got to do to make it to the finish line. And listen, look, I think Joel Embiid is a bit of a tragic figure.
A tragic figure. I mean, everybody likes him. He seems to want it
really badly. It's just his body just straight up has not cooperated, and that sucks. But at the end of the day, he's going to have like $600 million in career earnings.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that bad for the guy, you know?
Right. Well, House and I are old enough to remember doing this dance with Bill Walton way, way, way back when. Mm. Yao Ming, Greg Oden.
Sure.
Ralph Sampson. There's been a lot of big dudes that their bodies couldn't hold up because just fundamentally, it's just really hard for a 7'3" person to run up and down a basketball court for 9 months a year and jump up and down and land on things. You're playing with fire. All right, we're going to take one more break and then we'll do the rest. All right, come back. Waz is up. There's one big kahuna still left on the board.
This is the last obvious, this is just horrible contract, in my opinion, left in the league. There's other ones that are like, all right, this is pretty bad, but this is like horrific. And it's Joel Embiid's teammate, Paul George.
Mm. I honestly thought these two could be 1-2 in the draft.
No, easily. I think so. I think you can make arguments for both.
We are in the situation with this worst contract draft where we have one guy who costs his team like $1.5 billion and another guy that costs his team $500 million. And both of those franchises are looking at a decade of pure effing misery coming up.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well,
so Paul George is 4 years, 211.6, three years after this one.
Yep. Player option in 27-28 for $56 million. Probably opting into that one.
I couldn't figure out a way to look this up because I'm not smart enough. But when somebody drops 6 points a game, just fundamentally, when somebody goes from 22 to 16 and they played, they're like year 12 or later, it usually doesn't come back. I remember talking about this with Jermaine O'Neal 20 years ago when you go from being a 24-10 guy or 22-11 guy, and now you're like a 15-9 guy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come back, and that would be my fear with Paul George. And I don't. They said like something's wrong with his finger, but it doesn't explain the lack of explosiveness.
It's so bad. And this is the thing. I think we got to give cut Daryl a break here a little bit, in the sense that last year on the Clippers, Paul George was an all NBA performer. Yeah. He was the Clippers on off numbers with Paul George on both offense and defense. He was their best player last year.
Yeah.
He was a bona fide star NBA player last year. And he's coming to the 76ers environment, just turned into a pumpkin. Like, I don't think we could have foreseen this.
Well, we could have foreseen it. House, this is one of those, we see this in sports sometimes, you had to do it, but you didn't feel awesome about it as you're doing it, signings?
We had this argument in October when we were doing the over-under pod, me, you, and Russillo. And I'm the only one that chose the over for Philadelphia. I own it, but I did understand the thesis. I understood all of the moves that Philadelphia made in their offseason. It was a gamble. It was an all-in, all the chips to the center of the table gamble, where that Philadelphia team on paper, as we entered the season, looked like it had the potential to compete. I'm not saying beat, but compete with Boston. Boston is the standard. How can we put guys around Joel Embiid? The whole thing revolves around Joel Embiid's health. That is, you know, obviously the biggest part of the gamble. But the other side of the gamble is that Paul George will show up. The thing that the Sixers had done successfully in the two seasons leading up to this season is, in those chunks of time that Embiid was missing, they could tread water. And they were able to tread water through, the players that they had. Paul George was supposed to be the tread water character. But that dude showed up. This will always be Paul George for me. And I hope when he gets into the Hall of Fame that they put this picture up as part of the montage for his legacy. Him putting his mouth on his wife's titty on spring break, right before the All-Star. The players that aren't involved with the All-Star game are off on their version of having a break. And that man has the gall to put on his Instagram his mouth on his wife's titty. That will forever be the Paul George moment for me. That will I'll always think of him under
Hall
in that
of
context.
Fame move.
That's it.
Well, next year's year 16 for him in the NBA.
Damn. Wow.
The year after that will be year 17. And then the last year of this contract will be year 18. Not feeling great about it. And he's another one that's had some physical stuff, right? He's got the rod in his leg and all kinds of things. Well, House, you're up I think there's one primetime guy left here, but we'll see if you take him.
Oh, interesting. Because now I'm officially kind of having...
You feel like the draft has dropped?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time.
I think there's one good one left, but let's see.
We can do...
House is already... It's round two, and House is already like flummoxed and can't figure out who to pick.
No, I'm not flummoxed. I know who I want to put in here. And, I'm prepared to take all of the slings and arrows. It's Scotty Barnes. I don't like the Scotty Barnes extension. Wow. I don't like it one bit. They have, this is the thing, right? And the reason why I'm putting him in at this moment, know what I'm going to take from Toronto, the bullets I'm about to take from the Raptors. But somebody proved to me that he is not Zach LaVine. Somebody proved to me that he is not Trae Young. The problem with paying a guy that's not ready to be the leader of the team, and look, you can say he's been hurt. Well, yes, he's been hurt. He's only into the fourth year of his NBA career. I don't want guys that are missing chunks of time the way that Scotty Barnes is missing time. Now,
well, can we give the contract? Because he's on the last year of his rookie deal, which is $10 million. Mm-hmm. Next year, we're kicking in 5 years, $224 million. You're not a fan.
Well, it's his worst year shooting percentage wise of his entire career. So
I've been saying this for a while, and the Toronto fans get mad. I'm not against Scotty Barnes becoming potentially a guy, but he's been treated from day one like he's a future franchise guy. Remember, he wasn't in the KD trade.
Yeah, and I got yelled at a few years ago because I implied that he wasn't the next Kawhi Leonard. People thought I was insane and kept saying, look at his rookie stats compared to Kawhi's. I'm like, guys, like, this is not I think Scotty Barnes is a really good player.
Me too.
I don't think he's anybody's
idea. You go
idea
really
of a
good?
Number
I
one.
Think he's a good player.
I don't think he's anybody's idea of a number one option. I think around the right circumstance where he would be de-emphasized and just kind of just solely allowed to focus on his strengths and not, you know, firing up threes on a regular basis.
Controlling the ball at the end of the game.
It's a little bit,
it's that Iguodala Philly situation, right? Where it's like, he's all right, you're not really a number one guy, exactly. But if you're a number three guy on an awesome team, you might be awesome.
Tell me when he will make his first all-NBA team.
Hey, he made the all-star team last year, House. He's an NBA all-star.
All-star.
So he's knocking on the door, theoretically. Oof. On All-NBA.
It's a great theory.
I've never been the biggest Scottie Barnes person, but I don't see his contract as, like, you know, some kind of death knell to Toronto's future. I think some of the team building they've, you know, taken, the actions they've taken in that direction, I think are highly problematic. But I don't think Scottie Barnes is, like, some horribly overpaid.
I love it. House has replaced Trump as the number one enemy of Canada. I love it.
I put
and
him
the Kachuk brothers.
I put him where I put him because we've seen this song and dance before.
It's good. And you warned us about Bradley Beal. You've warned us about guys in the past. So, Scottie Barnes averaging 28-6. He's shooting 27% from three. And the team loses year after
year. It's his worst shooting percentage.
Yeah. So here's what I compare Scottie Barnes to. I compare it to the deal that Wiggins got off of his rookie extension, Glenn Taylor said that, well, Andrew Wiggins promised me that he was going to work his ass off in the offseason. Yeah. And so I gave him the max contract extension. Like, he hasn't put it on the court that he's worth that, but he promised me. He gave me his word. I think I look at his deal like that. Like, you look at the talent, where they drafted him, the idea that they're just not going to give him, you know, a max extension, I think would have been problematic for their management. And I'm like, in a few years, can Scottie Barnes be the finishing piece, even at a slightly inflated or vastly inflated, according to Joe House, contract? Could he be help a winner, like, elevate their situation the way Wiggins did for the Warriors? I think he could, potentially. That's why I'm not so down
when he's
deal.
A fourth banana. Okay. I'll keep my eye on it.
A $50 million fourth banana.
There you go.
Hey, man, I just came back from the grocery store. It's not that far off. I'll tell you that much.
He turns 24 in August. Listen, they need him to be a number one guy if they're going to pay him that kind of money.
That's right.
I don't know how else they
agree.
Find him. House,
right.
I like the pick. You used history.
Thank you.
I think this young guy might be a max guy, so I'm giving him a max when there's no actual evidence he's a max guy. And look at his stats and his basketball reference page is really good. We have seen this go wrong many times. I like the Wiggins seat too. Well, guys, I feel like I've already won the draft. I got Joel Embiid with the third pick. Kawhi Leonard still on the board. I don't know. What are you guys doing? Kawhi Leonard, three years, $149 million. He's played 20 games this season. He's played 249 games in 6 years for the Clippers. He's played 15 playoff games. What is he, Cal Ripken Jr. all of a sudden? What is happening?
You know what's so funny, Bill, is that when I looked at Kawhi's contract, but I looked at it next to Paul George's, and I was like, not so bad. And plus, like, he's been playing so well recently. I'm like, but you're right, though. It is.
I watched last night, and it's like, there's Kawhi during a timeout wearing a, you know, jogging suit. And it's like, I guess he's not playing.
He just straight up does not play. And that's what
never know
the
if
deal
he's
going
to play. Go to a Clipper game. It's like, oh, Kawhi's warming up. He's going to play. This is great. House?
I'll confess, I might have a little softer view on Kawhi because at the end of the day, I think that everything the Clippers have done with him has been part of the wildly successful arrival of the Intuit Center. I think what Ballmer did was try and create a credible product.
Yes.
Not an incredible product, a credible product. And the way that he did that was he used Kawhi as the vehicle. It has been a gross overpay from really the ever since he arrived from the Raptors. Each of the two extensions were gross overpays, but for the purposes of what the Clippers are trying, the identity that they're, you know, they want to be relevant, and the risk of him, you know, not being available was kind of worth it for them.
Risk, it's the fact of him not being available. So the case for this contract, they had a really fun Lakers game a couple nights ago, mm-hmm. and Kawhi played 40 minutes, 13 for 23, 33 points, 10 rebounds, and looked like he was every bit as good as
LeBron. He looks better than Paul George.
And that's why he did it. Now, if you saw a tweet tomorrow and it's like Kawhi Leonard has been shut down for the next 3 weeks, wouldn't no be surprised surprise at all. And that's None. Why for $50 million a year.
It's fair.
I got to put him on there. 249 games in 6 years for the Clippers is nuts. Waz, you're up.
My next contract is like this. I feel like this contract goes under the radar because this franchise is just known for ineptitude, basically. But it doesn't get talked about enough. And to me, this contract just signals like everything this franchise is about. And it's Patrick Williams of the Bulls.
I had him on my list.
Interesting.
Like, this dude is going to make $18 million per year until 2029. And like, he's never been good. He's not good now. And like, what? There was no reason to do this. Like, they
who were they competing against? Five years, $90 million for Patrick Williams. He's like a ninth man.
This guy has been theoretical. It's like, oh, look at the body and the 3-and-D, and it's just never ever materialized. And it's just what the Bulls do. Nothing they've done aside from finally, thankfully, moving on from Zach LaVine makes any sense whatsoever. But are we even sure that they're even going down the rebuilding, you know, path? We don't even know if that's the case, man. But like the Patrick, as soon as they inked this, it was like, what are they doing? Like, why would you do this?
The Bulls are your guy in your fantasy league, your friend that you haven't talked to in 12 years who doesn't really make any moves. And then every once in a while, we'll spend $58 in the free agent auction. And you're like, oh, there he is. It's like, he's trying to finish sixth place. What's this guy doing? Oh, he just likes being in the league. He likes being on the email threads. They're embarrassing. I had Patrick Williams too. He's 26 minutes a game somehow this season, averaging 37%. From on field goals house. And I just don't get it. When I watch him, he doesn't really jump out of the TV. There seems like there's 20 guys like him. I don't know why you would pay him. I think 5 years for 50 would have been kind of
insane.
Aggressive. I don't get it.
Dude, for the season, he's shooting 37.5%.
He can't shoot. Yeah,
from
he can't
the
shoot.
Field, guys. He's cannot 6'8".
House, you're up.
This is crazy.
It's time to have the Terry Rozier
conversation. Oh, man.
Well,
oh, my goodness.
Welcome. Now,
two years, $51.5 million left for Terry Rozier.
Look, on the face of it, $25 million for a shooting guard that's capable of being a prolific scorer. It's okay. The problem is we have a sizzle reel from this season shows him actively undermining the ability of the Miami Heat to win basketball games.
It looks like he's completely lost his ability to play basketball. Because I looked up when they made the trade last year. Because I remember thinking like, oh, getting Terry Rozier for what they gave up, like a first for him. I would much rather do that than give all the shit you had to give up for Dame Lillard, which included Tyler Hero, right? So when they traded for him last year, he played 30 Charlotte games. 23.2 points a game.
Yeah.
36% from three.
Yeah.
And was playing awesome and was like crunch time.
He was a good player. I thought Miami made a great pickup.
Yeah. This year, his stats are almost half. He's 11.8 points a game. He's shooting 40%. He's shooting 29% from three. And eye test wise, he might be the worst rotation guy in the league. And I don't know what happened. And there's lots of theories floating around, not hard to find, but you know, it really seems like whatever, there might be a scandal with him. There might not with some of this betting thing, but it really seems like it sent him into an absolute tailspin, but they keep playing him is the part I don't get, House.
I wonder, you know, we can theorize about stuff that doesn't take us into uncomfortable territory. No team in the NBA has more double digit leads that they've coughed up in the fourth quarter than the Miami Heat. And I, on the Ringer Gambling Podcast just this past Monday, said one of my favorite betting strategies over the last couple of weeks and will be until the end of the season is to find situations where Miami has a lead going into the fourth quarter and watching them cough it up. They, down the stretch in the last 6 minutes of the game, have no apparent game plan.
They did last night.
It's ISO to Hero. But Rozier's contribution to that, and again, who knows? I wonder if they quietly went to him and were like, dude, we're really not trying to make the playoffs.
I don't know.
Just
Well, they're the seventh seed right now, 29-32. Orlando's 29-34. Atlanta's 28-34. So they could fall to the ninth seed pretty easily if they wanted to. The shocking thing to me is they want to. They are a bottom half of the league from a talent standpoint. The weirdest thing to me that I think helps your theory, House, is why they didn't want Schroeder. Why didn't they want him?
Great point.
Like they actively tried to not keep him in the trade. It's like that guy actually would have been a really fun Heat that would have helped you. And now instead you're playing Terry Rozier. I've never seen somebody who is not past his prime, right? He's 30. I've never seen somebody 30, crater.
He's 31 on St. Patrick's Day.
I've never seen somebody crater where last year you're watching going, man, Terry Rozier, could he make the All-Star team? To this guy is now the worst rotation guy in the league. Good pick, House. I feel really bad with my next pick. Doesn't make me feel good. I almost want to take a shower after. he's somebody I did not like for a long time. And he really won me back over the last couple of years. I really respect him. I really feel bad for him. I feel for him. And this is way too soon. But I have to take Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. He only has 2 years left at $84.9 million. He's not playing this year, and I don't think he's playing next year.
Wait, is this for the extension that Nico Harrison is going to eventually give him this summer?
Well, regardless, this Kyrie, the ACL injury, when it happens at this point of the season, it's usually a season and
next
a half.
Next season is done. Yeah.
We saw it with Jamal Murray. In football, you can come back in less than a year. In basketball, it doesn't seem like you can. So basically, he's not going to play again on this contract. And I feel bad, but I don't see a worse contract left than 2 years, 84.9 for a guy who can't play. So not his fault.
It's tough. I think Dallas was good. They were basically going to be over a barrel this summer and have to give him a max extension for 4 years, which would have been kind of insane.
With a lot of scary history for smaller
guards. But now they could probably weasel out of that. And so maybe that'll be a mitigating factor in the next deal. But yeah, he's not playing next year.
Wait, you're saying that a team owned by Patrick Dumont, who just traded the most popular guy in the history of the franchise since Dirk Nowitzki, and then talked all kinds of leaky shit about him after they traded him, would do something shady?
It's tough. He said he wanted them to exhibit the work habits of one Shaquille O'Neal. That was tough. Am I up now?
You're up now. Go ahead. Let's take one more break, and then you're up.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black-Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem. Mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro. Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
All right. Let's go speed round from now on. Waz, you're up. Who do you got?
This is kind of easy for me, to be honest. And it's Brandon Ingram. Another guy who they tried to trade this guy for 2 straight years. Basically, David Griffin was like, bro, we're not paying you a penny over your current salary. Like, it's not going to happen. They fought. Nobody would take this guy.
Golden State needed a forward and wouldn't take him.
It was like, no, thank you. Everybody said no, thank you. And then, of course, like, the Raptors, for reasons I still don't understand, traded for the guy, gave him the extension, 3 years, $140 million. And then, you know, right after, my guy Jake Fisher is like, yo, they're probably going to trade RJ Barrett next summer. Like, what was the point of this? I don't get it. He's not a fit next to Scottie Barnes. He never plays any defense despite, you know, the physical tools and the profile. He's always just been a kind of like, give me the ball, let me cook, and not going to elevate a single thing around me. Hates taking spot up threes. I don't understand the trade. I don't understand this deal. I don't understand what Masai Ujiri has done basically since 2019.
To be fair, it's 3 years, $120 million extension.
$120, not 40.
It's still awful because that's $40 million a year for a guy that New Orleans could not trade for a solid year as an expiring contract.
So, I love it because it's a confession about how they feel about Scottie Barnes. So it's wonderful. Feels like it validates.
Oh, it's a win for House.
Yeah, it feels like an extra win for me.
I love putting a worst contract on here that hasn't officially kicked in yet. I think kudos to everybody
it's
involved.
It's on its way.
Masai Ujiri, who, remember there was that moment when it was like, could the Knicks just turn over the entire franchise to him? Yep. Is this guy the next guy? And he did a great job with the Raptors in the 2010s, but holy shit, the last 5 years. I disagree with basically everything they've done. I just don't understand it. House, you're up.
This one, I understand the controversy surrounding it. I have to, though, put a bright light on Jamal Murray because it is an enormous contract for a guy. Remember where we are with him in terms of his injury situation and his execution. Our recency bias will tell us this guy is a mad killer when he's healthy. But the dude's only been healthy for about 6 weeks now. And I adore him next to Joker. I want to be very plain about this, very clear. I love the contribution of Jamal Murray to the Denver Nuggets. I'm very excited to see how this playoff shakes out. But his injury history,
classic,
and what
house.
He does to that franchise, what he does to that franchise when he can't play, it ruins an all-time historical figure in the Joker. It takes so much off the table with the Joker. So when you're staring at, it says 5 years, $243 million. That's a big gamble. That's a big gamble.
First of all, classic house, backhanded compliment, talks about what a great fit he is, then complains about the contract. The extension was 4 years for $207.8 million. That kicks in starting next year. I'm personally fine with it. I had him way later in the draft. You have to pay the money.
He definitely made my list, but it's like, you're the Nuggets. This guy's been a part of the greatest team in the history of your franchise. You drafted the guy. They love the guy. If the Nuggets make another finals run or two, I think this is completely justified to keep the era going and
Fair
all of that.
Enough.
But I'm Fair not going to lie, House. Some of these Jamal Murray box scores to start the season, definitely my eyebrow was raised for a while. The performance with Team Canada in the goddamn Olympics, that was scary stuff for me. But as of lately, he's dropping 50 on guys. He's looking spry.
I love it.
I'm feeling more confident. But it's scary when you think about his injury history.
I think House has moved into the clear number one spot for a guy who's going to take the most shit online from this draft. And I can't wait for it. I'm going to read you the salary years for my pick. Yet another great pick. I feel like I'm dominating the draft now. 43,827,587 this year. So almost $44 million this year. 3 year extension kicking in for $109.5 million next 3 years. That's right. The Stifle Tower himself. Rudy Gobert.
I had him circled.
He's on the list. This is a really interesting one. They had him at 43.8 this year and 46.6 next year. And they thought they would get all smart. They're like, hey, Rudy, let's wipe out that player option for the 46.6 and we'll give you the 3 years 109. Yeah. And then we'll turn Karl Anthony Towns into DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. And it's a reallocation of money. It's going to be great. So Rudy Gobert, who is having the worst statistical season he's had, is it fair to say he is unplayable? in a Lakers series, an OKC series, and a Golden State series?
I don't think so. I don't think that's a fair characterization.
You think he sees the court in a Lakers series? You think he sees a fourth quarter?
Yes.
In a Lakers series with Luka and LeBron in the game?
Yes. 100%. I think so. I think Rudy was the anchor of by far the league's best defense last year. He was key to beating Joker in the playoffs.
He was.
I mean, it was a trio, but Rudy played a major part in sort of like keeping Joker contained. They win that in a dogfight, you know, 7-game series.
And then he got played off the court by Luka Doncic in the next series.
They justify it by saying, look, $35 million, that's probably the going rate for starting centers. This guy's always been an Iron Man in terms of playing. Takes his, you know, his conditioning and his body really super seriously to stay on the court. I understand the pick, Bill.
That's not why they did it. I would be fine if that's why they did it. They did it because of the money, because they are worried about how much money they're paying. They didn't want to pay Towns what he was paying. Yeah. And they looked at it as like, we can get off this Randall deal hopefully next year because he'll have an awesome season for us. He'll go into free agency. Guess what? Julius Randle will be opting into the $32 million next year. So they didn't get out of that contract. DiVincenzo, they're going to lose. And now they're stuck with Rudy for 3 more years. And I don't know, man. They're going to lose Naz Reid now. Naz Reid is gone. Like, he's done. He's leaving. They can't keep him, House. There's no chance they keep him. He is going to New Orleans. He'll go to Brooklyn. He could go to your Washington Wizards. He's going to be making $35 million a year next year, and it will not be in Minnesota.
I think that Minnesota is going to find a way to keep him. I think that there's some off-season.
Right now.
Yeah, dinner. That's great. Yeah.
Dinner bet. I mean, he will not be on Minnesota next year. It's not happening. So it's fine. He's not happening.
Well, look, I mean, you just went through. They moved Cat. Nobody had that on their radar for money-saving purposes. I think they understand the value. We'll see it in the playoffs. I think the Naz Reid is going to make such a compelling case over the course of these playoffs if Minnesota goes anywhere. Honest to God, my favorite matchup of the entire first round is Oklahoma City-Minnesota. I pray to God that we get that as our opening round in that thing. And the toll it's going to take on Oklahoma City sets up that matchup against potentially Golden State in the second. God, it's so juicy. But to go back to the point around Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert, if the Gobert extension was for the purposes of, you know, does it make him more palatable as a trade asset? But they have to do something to keep Naz Reid, and I think Naz Reid will stay with Minnesota.
What do you think, Wes?
I think Rudy's going to stick around. The idea that they had a three-center rotation last year is just an anomaly. Like, you can't keep three centers who are basically paid their market value on your roster when all of them are basically kind of starter caliber. So, I don't know. I think they figure out how to make the Naz Reid thing work. I'm just not as disgusted by the Rudy deal. And I guess I've kind of become a Rudy convert, man. I just think a lot of this stuff he does gets a little bit underrated.
I can't believe
this. He's expensive, but
I'm
going to
be texting you guys when he's sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter of a Lakers series watching LeBron and Luka run pick and rolls. Waz, you're up. By the way, Julius Randle's still available.
Another one, I take no joy from this, but DeJounte Murray, after this year, he's got 3 years at about 32 per, coming off of an Achilles injury, and it's tough. You tear your Achilles at guard, and you're like, one of your main strengths is basically your athleticism, your shiftiness. I'm not seeing it for him. And the deal is tough. I think this is going to end up being a bad deal for New Orleans, man.
4 for $114 for him. I mean, it could be worse. They could have traded Dyson Daniels in the... Oh, wait. No. All right. House, you're up.
It's mandatory if we're doing a worst contract draft. We've mentioned his name once, but he has to officially be a selection. It is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has to be...
Even as the Ben Simmons buyout? You're just taking him anyway? Okay.
You can't have a draft and talk about bad contracts. Russillo sent a hilarious text this week watching him on the Clippers. just making an observation around what seemed to be Ben Simmons' instincts for passing the ball. Some of, like, it was just hard to really thread the needle in terms of what he was trying to accomplish, where the ball was going. At this point, it's an honorary pick for Ben Simmons for me at this stage.
I like it. You know, I'm upset that Patrick Williams is gone, because this is right where I thought I was going to be able to get him, but he's not on the list anymore. I got to do Emmanuel quickly. We got to go back to the Raptors.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Got to do it one more time. He's in the first year of a deal that pays him 5 years, $162.5 million. And I kind of like Emmanuel quickly. Like, he's 38% from three. He's instant offense off the bench. But his destiny on any good team, on an actual good team, would be a sixth or seventh man, a bench scorer, instant offense. That's how you'd want to ideally use him. And you don't pay $30-plus million a year for a guy like that. You pay, like, $14 million a year. You pay... The Celtics are paying Peyton Pritchard $7 million a year.
Well, he's on the opposite of a bad contract. That's an amazing contract they got for Peyton Pritchard right now.
Right. That, if we're doing the best contracts, that's one of those.
He'd be up there for sure.
It's just too much money. If it was 5 for $100, I'd be like, all right, I guess. But when you're talking about that much, and now you're basically locked into Barnes and Ingram and Quickly as your three expensive guys, where the fuck are you going at that point? what do you think's going to happen? You're going to win 38 games? Like, what? I honestly do not understand what Toronto is doing. Anyway, Waz, you're up.
This is pretty easy for me, and it sucks, but it's Grant Williams. Mm. This guy has
3 for 41.
Yeah, still, and he's just not an NBA player anymore. Straight up, doesn't play. He's just done.
He blew out his knee, but you're saying next year?
Next year, he's, even when he was playing and he was getting ticked this season, it was pretty disastrous. He was another Nico Harrison sort of unearthing. Never panned out. Grant Williams, I think he's done.
All right. House?
Am I allowed to do a combo deal? Because these guys, to me, fit the exact same profile, and they are all also in this gamble phase.
Do I get a combo deal? Why would you be able to take two picks in the same pick? I don't understand. Okay.
All right. Then I'll choose Zion, because, you know, you can imagine who the foil would be, who the other guy's name is, what I'll say, but I won't say it. He can still be a viable pick. You know, what we need... proof that Zion can play basketball
an entire season.
I didn't know where to put him on the board, because he's technically has 4 for $163 left, but they have all these different outs for games played, for weighing him, and it seems like a movable contract. I also think teams would have traded for it in February if they had put it out there, and I don't think I know teams kicked the tires on it. I'm positive. And I think New Orleans was like, nah, we need, but maybe this summer we could see something. He's looked good in a couple of these games, though. I did, too.
I want it to work.
Okay. Well, I need a white guy. And this is very similar to what I just laid out with Emmanuel Quickly. Grayson Allen at 4 years, $70 million, to basically be my ninth man. Like, yeah, he's shooting 43% from three. He's Sam Hauser. He's in that kind of level of, like, those white dudes the Cavs have. There's a bunch of these guys. And guess what? None of them are making 17, 18 million a year. They're all making, like, three. They're making four. They're making two. They're making, oh, man, we found this guy in the waiver wire. They're not making this. So congratulations, Matt Ishbia. You did it again.
He's making Austin Reeves money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's making more than Austin Reaves.
He's making more than Austin Reaves.
Yeah,
that's
he's
correct.
He's nowhere near.
I'm glad you brought up Austin Reaves, because fuck the Spurs again for not making an offer that summer. I said it that whole month, and everybody's like, "What? Why are you just saying this because you want the Lakers to lose him?" It's like, no, I'm saying because Austin Reaves is good, and he should have gone. Now, that's somebody, if he got a Quickly deal, I would have been like, all right, a little high, but I would do it. Waz, who do you have?
I don't know. I don't want to draw the ire of this fan base, but for me, it's Domantas Sabonis. I'm sorry.
Oh, I love when you do this.
You do this every year. This guy is just overpaid.
You do it every year.
Like, I think the team's limitations are based on their commitment to this dude playing center, where just like straight up, you cannot guard the paint. Shouts to Doug Christie. He's changed up the game plan to make it just straight up. Everybody just packs the paint, and we allow teams to shoot threes now. That's it. We cannot guard the paint with Domantas Sabonis at center. And they just committed to it, and I get it. He gets rebounds. He's a great guy. I get it, all of that. But, like, this guy is just not worth what they're paying him to me.
So they're paying him 4 for $186. It's year one of the new extension. Listen,
if you're another team and you've identified Sabonis as somebody you want, why? Why do you want him at that number?
Because I want to win 43 games.
Okay, thank you.
I think there's a world where you could build an awesome team around him, but I think it's really hard. Like, you really have to put a lot of thought into every other player in that roster because he does have some limitations. But you're right. Like,
he's like the center version of Ben Simmons would have panned out.
Wow. Every year, Sabonis just takes strays from Wass
really
on
does.
This.
He does.
Who do you have, House?
I'm going back to an old favorite of mine. This guy is near the end of his career, doing a very distinguished job of helping a franchise, you know, with a tremendous talent, you know, try and see the best outcome. This is Damian Lillard time.
He's playing well lately. Wow.
I agree.
Three for 161 for Dame Lillard.
The problem is the amount that's left on this contract at his age and the history in the NBA of guards with his profile being effective. It's just really the end of the year thing. I said up front that I'm glad that he's playing well because I'm glad for Milwaukee to be good.
Yeah.
I'm pissed at Milwaukee.
And our guy Doc. We're going to get to play golf with at Bel Air with Doc. We got to praise
saying
Damian
nice
Lillard.
Things about, yeah. about
well, now you pissed off another fan base.
Well, I don't think so because he's doing what he's all that he can
he's
do.
Playing well, my God,
161 is a gulp.
And wait for the playoffs.
That's all.
Now, so
that's
you're gonna
all.
Regret this in the playoffs. I promise. I'm
trying to put it in the right category. He's gonna be good. The Milwaukee. I'm pissed at Milwaukee. I honestly think the Portis drug thing was a bummer, but. I don't think they should
They've
have traded
taken
Milton.
Off since he...
I know that they needed cap savings and that Kuzma is a live body, but I will tell you come playoff time, without any reservation or hesitation, a moment will come and Kyle Kuzma will have the effing ball at that moment and it is going to go badly. It's going... Chris Middleton, I trust. Kyle Kuzma, I do not. Best of luck to the Bucks.
For my next pick... First of all, House has won the draft for pissing off the most fan bases. He locked it up two rounds ago.
Milwaukee's not
going to
be pissed.
Oh, yeah. They'll be mad. The Dame fans. There's a whole Dame hive. I can't believe this guy's still available. 3 years, $66 million. Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Goes to Orlando.
It's been a rough year in Orlando,
leaves Denver.
Man.
Christian Brown comes in and is immediately like, twice as good as he was. Goes to Orlando.
Oh, my God. Twice as good. Come on, man.
Here are the stats. 60 games, 8.6 points, 2.1 rebounds, 1.8 assists. Congratulations on all that. 31% from three.
Yeah.
He's not rocking the 9.0 PER.
Not what he's brought in to do.
And he's playing 30 minutes a game. And you could argue, if anyone playing 30 minutes or more a game, he might be the least useful player. And I know there's good look, he's a good defensive player. There's metrics, but...
Great locker room guy.
Great Love locker Kenny. Room guy, all that. But I promise you they were looking for more than what he's given them this year with this contract. So he is my pick. Waz, who do you have?
Ah, man, now I'm starting to get into guys that I really actually like as players.
Now, that's part of the draft.
This is tough. I think the Jalen Green deal is a tough one. Just the up and down, inconsistent nature of his game, man. 2 weeks he's up, 3 weeks he's down.
Can we give the deal? 1 for 12 Yes. And then next year, 3 for $105 is an extension, which.
Yep. With a play option at the end of it. Yep.
And by the way, good content for us because he's going to be in 58% of the fake trades we make in June.
Yeah. I'm guessing. Try to get them a superstar.
And when we get to Devin Booker and we try to, it's like, well, Jalen Green will be in it.
And I think the ultimate indictment of Jalen Green and the deal is that Fred VanVleet goes down and the offense just goes into the tank because they don't have a creator who can effectively get them into decent offense. And it's like, Jalen Green, like, you're right here. Like, you should be stepping up here. And
does not create not for, he cannot create anything for anybody else. That would be the criticism.
And I really like Jalen Green.
Yeah, there was a moment last year when it really felt like it all came together, and I have not seen it. Was waiting. House, you're up.
I can't believe this guy is still available, to be honest with you. And I'll take, you know, the criticism for some of my earlier picks, but Andrew Wiggins is still on the board. Look at this size. Look at this man's contract. And please tell me the next time that you think that he is going to play 60 games in an NBA season. Please, please tell me the next time you think that that's going to happen. He's at 49 games right now. He played 49 games last season. He is living off of a contract that was a reward for helping the Golden State Warriors win a championship.
Second best guy in the league.
Totally reasonable. No problem.
You always forget to say the contract. 3 years, $85
million.
That counts this year.
That's a lot. It's a lot of money left for a guy that looks like he's lost some interest. And his interest in basketball has always been kind of an open question, except for the championship year.
Everyone's getting groggy. We're nearing the end of the draft. And I haven't really pissed off a fan base yet. And I also haven't made Waz laugh hysterically with a pick yet. And I think this is going to be it. It's the most controversial pick of the late rounds. I got to do it. 4 years, $163 million. Ja Morant.
Stop it. Get the hell out of here. Listen,
it's the end of the draft. I'm just trying to get value. Why doesn't he play? Why doesn't he play?
They're conserving his body for the postseason, folks. Chill.
What's wrong with his shoulder now? What's going on?
When I asked for permission to combine players, I wanted to do Zion and Ja together. Because to me, they fit the same kind of, like, when is Ja going to be able, like, if the idea with him over his entire career will be to preserve him for the playoffs, then what does that do for your team? You're paying.
He's 25. What are we preserving him for? He should be playing every game.
He can't. There's no proof that he can. But
so
he is.
This year, he's played 38 games this year. He played 9 games last year. He plays 29.4 minutes a game. He doesn't even play 30 minutes a game.
They're conserving him.
Kid gloves bubble wrapping him. And now yesterday he didn't play well. And he's like, I don't know if my shoulder is going to be good the rest of the year. So now I have a fundamental shoulder issue on top of all the other baggage. Like, look, there's 10 teams that are paying him that contract without blinking. I'm just flagging it. We're near the end of the draft. The contract, the numbers are pretty high for somebody who doesn't seem like he's going to play all the time.
Okay. Not mad at it.
Who do you got, Wes?
This hurts me because he's one of my favorite players in the league, but it's OG Anunoby.
I was wondering when he'd go. 5 for $212 million.
It's a huge deal with a guy who has an extensive injury history, especially muscle injuries, which tend to happen with, you know, a lot of overusage, which, newsflash, he plays with Tom Thibodeau. Ask Luol Deng about that. Love OG. I love watching OG play. I love his approach to the game. But this is so much money for a guy who doesn't create his own shot ever. He's not some great distributor. It's like, man, this is a lot.
And he's a very good defender. But I will also say the Tatum and Brown aren't exactly quaking in their boots when they see him. And that was one of the reasons they did that thing. I'm with you. He's for the injury issues with him that always are lingering. 212 is a scary number. House, I'll give you one more pick.
Thank you. And I want to say this name so we can have a quick conversation about him. I'm going to draw a distinction between him and Scottie Barnes. I'm taking LaMelo Ball here. And the distinction that I want to make
This is when the draft gets great. Ja Morant and LaMelo Ball. I love it.
But here's the distinction. I think LaMelo Ball could definitely make an all-NBA team and it could be like right around the corner. It's just not going to be in Charlotte. And I don't really quibble with Charlotte paying him this contract. I think it is commensurate with his talent, but his talent, he is a loser. He's a serial loser.
You mean a loser of games, not an actual human loser. A loser of games. Okay.
Correct. Correct. There is no proof to the contrary. He's never played basketball in a situation, a serious situation where his team has been a winning.
Where his team has been high-fiving and shaking hands in celebration after games. It's a unique experience for him.
We're missing the winning component now.
Good win. I can't believe we won 7 games in a row. It's never been said.
With his talent, if he can stay healthy, another guy who can, you know, we keep seeing these nagging ankles here and there. But his talent is such that if he was with the right situation, with the right coach, this would be an incredible contract potentially. Because I think he is supremely talented. And I like his swag. It just needs to be redirected. So in this circumstance, with this team, tough one.
I like it.
I don't think it's bad money, but you know what? I'll take his career over Scotty Barnes. And everybody from Toronto can go ahead and send me poop sandwiches. I'm fine with it.
I'll recap the draft before I make the last pick. Waz took Bradley Beal to kick us off. House took Nico Harrison. I took Joel Embiid. And then it went Paul George, Scotty Barnes, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Williams, Terry Rozier, Kyrie Irving. I felt bad about that one. Brandon Ingram, Jamal Murray, Rudy Gobert. DeJounte Murray, Ben Simmons, just in emeritus, just has to be picked anyway. Even though he's making $1 million, House just honorary. Had to get him on the board. I took Emmanuel quickly. Then Grant Williams, Zion Williamson, Grayson Allen, Domantas Sabonis, Dame Lillard, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jalen Green, Andrew Wiggins, Ja Morant, OG Anunoby, LaMelo Ball, and the last pick of the draft. Only because he has to, another guy, he's like Ben Simmons, he has to be in there. House is so excited. Zach LaVine, 3 for 141. We got to have him. Can't leave Zach out. Zach was outside the door knocking, like, hey, guys.
I thought
there was a worst contract party.
That's right.
Hey, anybody home? okay. I mean, the case for that, even though he's had a really good year, is the Bulls traded him and didn't even get good stuff back.
They got a hill of beans.
They just got bad contracts from other teams. Back.
Literally a hill of beans.
So apologies to the following people for not getting picked. Julius Randle, 2 for 64. Jimmy Butler, 3 for 159. Chris Middleton on House's Wizards, 2 for 65.
I like on my list. Yep.
Zach Collins, 2 for 35.7.
Part of that Zach contract Levine is trade. Still happening.
How is he not in our draft?
Yeah, he should be. Zach Collins definitely should be.
Kevin Huerter, 2 for 35.
Yeah. Huerter.
Terrence Mann, 1 for 11 this year, and then kicks in 3 for 47. Lauri Markkanen, 5 for 237. I did look at him for the last couple of rounds.
I looked hard at it.
I almost took him over Ja Morant. Gary Harris, 2 for 15. Just had to put it in their principal. Buddy Hield, 4 for 38. Can't believe he didn't get drafted. Teams are trying to sign him as an undrafted free agent for the draft right now. Drew Holiday, 4 for 134.
Drew Holiday is tough. And another guy that's
he's got like a fucked up finger.
That I thought about is Bam Adebayo. He's having a horrible season. Everybody thought this was going to be a breakout year, particularly on offense. That just straight up has not happened. He's got a sterling reputation amongst people in our profession, so he won't get killed in like the media, but like he's been a disappointment.
Well, we've hit the end. I had a wonderful time.
Me too.
It was the worst contracts draft. My favorite part is that everyone's going to be the maddest at House.
Yes.
I feel maybe the Memphis fans come after me a tiny bit. Wow, so who's coming after you?
Probably Sacramento.
Definitely Sacramento.
Oh, Sabonis. Yeah, the Sabonis hive coming at you. This was a blast, though. Thanks to Cerruti and thanks to Kyle and thanks to Cahal. As always, you can watch this as a video podcast on Spotify. I don't know why you would because you just finished the podcast, but it's also going to be available on the Bill Simmons YouTube channel. You can listen to House on Fairway Rolling and on the Ringer Gambling Show. You can listen to Waz on group chat with Mahoney and Verrier on the Ringer NBA show. Great to see you, fellas. Thank you. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. For Kansas, an affiliation with Kansas Star Casino, or 18 plus and present in D.C. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Hope is here. Visit Gambling Helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.